The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Season 3, Episode 9 features Damon Reeve, CEO of Ozone, in conversation with Justin Cook, Chairman of Demand Exchange.
I'm delighted to be joined by Damon Reeve, the CEO of Ozone, here recorded live Advertising Week New York. Damon, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us all about Ozone.
So Ozone, I'll tell you what we are and then why. Ozone is a programmatic advertising platform built for brands by the UK's leading national sort of publishers. So our shareholders are The Guardian, News UK, Reach PLC and The Telegraph. We were born in 2017, 2018, really with the view to help publishers be more competitive in a programmatic landscape that was increasingly dominated by platforms. Platforms have a lot of technology, they have scale, they have a lot of features and capabilities that brands and marketers are looking for, that individual publishers on their own struggle to be able to provide and compete. So we launched Ozone in 2018 with a view to helping publishers be more competitive in that platform world, which means investing heavily in technology, investing in a lot of tools and capabilities around how to control their data, how that data is shared and how it's monetized, and ultimately to provide the brand with a much better advertising experience.
And you yourself, give me a bit of a career journey to date.
I've been working in digital advertising, programmatic advertising for a long time now. After a foray in the 90s at Microsoft, I then moved to the UK. I'm Australian originally. I moved to the UK, worked for a couple of companies before starting my first business called Unanimous with some other founders. That we ran for 10 years. It was a great business. We sold it to France Telecom. At the same time, we had a technology business that is now OpenX, so an SSP business based out of Pasadena. I had an analytics business after that, based out of New York, and then moved back to London to set up Ozone.
Amazing. That's a great story. And many of those organizations are you know, kind of famous and you know, true institutions in the world of digital. So let's fast forward to kind of today. So what, how many years in are you now?
Six years in?
Yeah. So how's it going?
It's good. I'd say the progression for Ozone has been a steady one over that period.
Yep.
Our thesis early on, I could almost pull out the sort of original deck that we had in 2017, and it's still true today in terms of what we do and how we do it. We just do it a lot more, and it's a lot more sophisticated and a lot bigger. But there's two primary parts to the business. There's a big investment in technology. So over half of our the people that work at Ozone are actually in data and technology roles. And that sort of platform drives our media business, but we also license a lot of technology back to publishers to help them better monetize their own advertising business themselves. So there's a big sort of software licensing component to the business, and then there's the media side where we have commercial teams going to advertisers and agencies, developing relationships, securing budgets that would otherwise be going to platforms to bring those back to publishing environments.
And how's the dynamic kind of evolved with regards to kind of your publisher kind of owners and stakeholders? Like, how has that changed and grown over that time frame?
I'd say Ozone is a fairly new concept because it's a joint venture, an alliance of publishers who are trying to establish something that's essentially new in an ecosystem. Then you have to sort of, you know, I guess find your place. Mm. So buyers have to understand what's the role that Ozone plays within their media plan, within the media mix. Publishers also have to work out what Ozone means for them in terms of their own business. And so things ultimately just over time settle down and people understand what role we play in their business, and it's not always the same. Also, where we started with 4 publishers, we now work with 45
Wow.
Publishers. So our footprint has grown. It's a much bigger sort of proposition. And that in itself changes the nature of how we work and how we work with different people. What's interesting out of that is I think we talk about the work that we do at Ozone is essentially powering the premium web. The premium web is what we call where it's at that part of the internet that people spend most of their time.
Mm-hmm.
So to be entertained and informed, so that's news and magazine environments or entertainment environments, distinct from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's our core focus. And for a brand, their version of the premium web is going to be slightly different. A luxury brand is going to have a slightly different version to an automotive brand. From a publisher's point of view, different publishers provide different types of editorial content. So our job is really to bring all of that together into an ecosystem that works for the brand, but also monetizes well for the publisher.
And as an advertiser, what is it about Ozone that you think really drives their choice of engaging with you versus a platform? Like, what's the differentiator?
The primary differentiator starts with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
People who are reading news or magazine content are highly engaged and highly attentive. And so the scroll fatigue that you get in a lot of social feeds and stuff like that is the antithesis of what you get when someone's reading long form content or watching video content. They're very engaged and very attentive, which means for brand and upper funnel strategies, those environments work really well. But it's a challenge trying to reach those audiences at scale and doing that in a way that is measurable, and you can understand the channel impact that softer metrics around attention and engagement have on the harder sort of lower funnel metrics, is a challenge, particularly doing that at scale. So the role that Ozone plays is really to bridge that gap and make what is fairly complex and seems fairly complex much more simple.
And from a publisher perspective, I'm assuming that there's some form of kind of unified kind of customer kind of journey, the tracking, the buying, that's a real kind of opportunity for the publishers to be able to kind of work stronger together.
Yeah, that's right. I think the biggest challenge a marketer has these days is how fragmented the media landscape is. You know, the days of having, you know, a few TV channels that everyone would sit in front of and you had a captive audience. Now there are so many devices and so many different screens that with all very similar content, trying to reach the right audience in the right way and cost effective and be able to measure the success of that is very difficult. So one of the role that Ozone plays is distinct from what a publisher can provide, which is that deep leveling of engagement with their audience and providing that unique sort of proposition that only The Telegraph or only The Guardian could ever provide. Ozone helps to stitch together audiences across all of those properties into a more scaled proposition.
Where are you, do you feel, on that journey with the media buyers, with the brands buying direct? Like, how far have you come in over that time frame?
I guess it depends what's the measure of success. I think most for the last sort of 6 years we've grown well. So we are now a fairly significant contributor to most of the publishers that we work with, and we're a significant partner for most of the holding groups and the independent agencies that we work with in the UK. So it's hard to know what's the benchmark of kind of success. I guess we keep going. I feel like there is a huge amount of value to be created within the premium web that is currently untapped. So I think there's a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're very established in the UK. That's where we started. We've just started expanding to the US. So we're now in the process. We've been working with publishers from a software point of view for the last 2 years in the US market, which has been going well. And we're going to be introducing over the course of next year our media proposition.
That's a great segue, because obviously here we are in New York, and Very, very keen to kind of unpack that a little bit more. So, like, how does the US market differ from that of UK?
We're yet to find out. I would say the what people tell us. So our observations are the UK, in many ways, is you can think about it as a single market. So geographically, and also I guess the market size is it is a single entity. It's not quite, but for the most part, it is. In the US market, it's just too big to be thought about as a single proposition. So I think it's there are regional markets, there are vertical sort of markets depending on what your vertical sector the brand's in. And so I think it's actually it's an aggregation of many markets. I think that's probably the biggest observation. I think where national publishers, national publisher brands have a fairly dominant role in the UK market. I think that's probably less so in the US. I think they're obviously still big, but there are fairly significant regional brands that drive a lot of value for marketers. So I think we have to think about it as not being one market, but quite a few different ones put together.
And, you know, we're at day three, coming to the end of day three of Advertising Week. What's been kind of the reaction response to the conversations you've been having here?
Yeah, really positive. I think the what's interesting is, I guess we've matured over the last 6 or 7 years in the UK, almost incubating kind of the proposition. So when you're talking to people for the first time about what we're doing, it lands. The value proposition to a buyer is really clear. The opportunity to reduce sort of wastage across different channels and be able to focus their spend, reaching the right audience, using all of the sort of with permission for publisher first party data, drives real value for the brand. So we're feeling cautiously optimistic, but the value prop right now is seems to be landing.
That's great to hear. Going back to the tech and, you know, the investment that you've been making in you know, that, you know, you're up against some pretty significant kind of, as you call them, platforms out there in the market. Sort of, what is it, you know, from a tech perspective that you've really kind of focused on? Because I guess you have to kind of really prioritize, right? How are you going to, you know, really get that sort of return on investment from the, you know, in that product? Tell me about some of the kind of innovation and evolution of that.
Absolutely, we don't have the budgets that many other people do, so you've got to be smart about how you spend it. That said, the one observation that we've had for quite a while, and I think it was one of the sort of starting thesis of establishing Ozone, was over the past 15 years, most programmatic technology has been sort of horizontal in its nature. So you have an SSP layer, you have a DSP layer, you have a DMP. So these technologies that are sort of designed to be universal regardless of the market that or the sector that they're supporting. What ends up happening is you end up having technologies that are averaging out but don't necessarily bring out the best in any one particular vertical. News publishing and magazine publishing is quite a unique beast. And being able to build technology from scratch that is purpose-built for that vertical drives real value. And I think it's demonstrated in the value we provide versus someone who's actually quite mature and might provide something on the face of it that's quite similar, but their technology is generic. Being purpose-built from the ground up for publishing drives a significant value.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, that focus that you have, you know, as a platform and as a market enables you to perhaps you have a greater differentiator in terms of not trying to cater to the many, as
for
it
sure.
were, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, I'm a big fan of vertical markets. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it makes the most sense for both buyer and seller. But when you design from the ground up, only thinking about the ecosystem, this premium web ecosystem that you're focused on, it's amazing how quickly you realize many of the other sort of components are actually quite broken. And it's an easy concept to think that, you know, the logic of programmatic advertising conceptually is just a bunch of building blocks and a bunch of connections. What's difficult for people to see under the hood is how many of those connections actually don't work, or they work imperfectly. Being able to make them work perfectly drives much better value.
Yeah, and I guess also, you know, you, to some degree, when you look at the kind of the other platforms out there, you've got somewhat later mover advantage in terms of many of those guys have been around for, you know, decade and a half, 2 decades or more, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see the frustrations that have sort of been lingering and no one's incentivized to solve them. It's beneficial to be a latecomer and have that as being your remit.
Let's talk about the premium web a bit. So how, in your experience, has that evolved, you know, over kind of, you know, the Ozone's lifetime?
It continues to evolve. The interesting starting, I guess the starting point and the thing that I still find really interesting is that publishing in an offline world is a very easy concept to understand. You go to a newsstand, you go to a newsagent, you know what you're looking at. You're looking at a newspaper, you're looking at a magazine, you understand it. It's a tangible thing. The digital equivalent doesn't exist. You go to a web browser, you type in a URL, but you could easily be looking at, and you could be looking at the Wall Street Journal, or you could be looking at some other random website that has Wall Street Journal-like content, but doesn't live by the same regulatory oversight. It's a weird thing where publishing is not clearly defined in a digital world. And I think that's a challenge for publishers because when it comes to channel attribution and a marketer trying to understand what's driving value, they can't clearly sort of define publishing. So publishing gets lumped in with online display, which is a very broad thing. Everything from, you know, train tickets to, you know, calendar websites all the way through to big publishers. And so we, from our own marketing, we felt it was important to early on define our ecosystem, define the world that we actually operate in. Now, you know, so, the word premium is a subjective word. You can sort of, it can mean many things to many people, but we had to start with something. Mm-hmm. And what we found over time is just by being consistent and just by continuing to hammer the same message, this is the ecosystem that we operate in, and it's the sum of all of these parts. But importantly, from a buyer's point of view, the premium web is not just premium environments and premium audiences. It's premium service, it's premium formats, it's results, it's the whole advertising experience, not just these sort of these editorial environments. It's transparent, it's all of the stuff that you think it should be when you're actually buying advertising, programmatic advertising. So that is very much, I guess, our anchor. That's where we sort of hang our hat and continue to be the ambassadors for. Over time, I think it's starting to land. I think maybe four years ago when we started talking about it, people didn't really sort of know what we sort of meant. Now I think it's clearly understood that there's a version of the web that is different to the whole thing. Yeah. It is this premium world that has a different value attached to it.
And are you able to now demonstrate sort of premium outcomes from the premium web, as it were?
Yeah, and so the measurement side is I guess one of the big areas that's changing in marketing, and I'm sure you've got other podcasts that have talked about that. But the attribution of value for digital advertising, particularly given the challenges around data regulation and the loss of signal, I guess, that's kind of only going to continue. Marketers have to think differently about how they measure success and what they how they perceive where value is coming from. I actually think that all that only bodes well for publishing and for the premium web, because you're all of a sudden able to use sort of more old school sort of methods like mixed media modeling and econometrics modeling, etc., to understand how is value being sort of generated and where. Being able to sort of clearly define that, I think, is going to be important in the next few years.
And how are kind of sort of earlier or later generations, how are you seeing sort of, you know, kind of Gen Z and sort of, you know, beginnings of Gen Alpha, kind of how are their kind of behaviors when it comes to kind of consuming premium web influencing kind of your strategy?
I think it's a I think it's a misnomer or misinterpretation. I'm not sure the word is. The young people don't read news. I think they read a lot of news, and that's been borne out in lots of research. What they are is less brand loyal. So they will read a lot of news content, but they will arrive at that content through social platforms or through other means. They won't necessarily read from cover to cover or read from start to finish the Times or the Telegraph or the Guardian. That I think is interesting. So their loyalty to an individual brand is low, but they are still high consumers of news content. From our perspective, because we're looking at audiences across all of the different properties, that doesn't really matter to us. You know, as long as we know, as long as we can find them and as long as we can reach them for the right brand, then they have equal value.
And is there a sense of kind of co-opetition within your kind of publisher kind of network?
How do you mean?
Well, I guess on that point of sort of, you know, surfing across your entire kind of publisher kind of network, there's an element of like, this is lifting all the boats in one sense versus...
Certainly that's the theory, yeah. Right. I think the publishing world is has many challenges, whether it be Google search algorithms, whether it be Facebook or Meta feeds, providing distribution. Regulation, providing more challenges around consent and sort of consent banners and et cetera. So I think publishing generally is a industry that has a lot of challenges. So all of the support that we can give the sector to be, as you say, to rise the watermark is all hugely valuable.
From the outside, it would kind of feel like, you know, having an organisation like you at a regulatory, having that regulatory kind of level conversation would be very helpful to the regulator.
we did early on. I think it, so. I didn't mention earlier there was a very specific reason why we launched Ozone in June of 2018, because that was the same month that GDPR was introduced. And for those that can remember, GDPR was seen as a forcing function for publishers, who are the ones that needed to actually capture consent for any data to be shared, an opportunity for publishers to reverse the tide of being of disintermediation. That didn't happen. It was there were sort of ad tech innovations that kind of ended up with these consent frameworks and stuff like that ultimately sort of didn't allow publishers to sort of reverse that tide. But so at the time in 2018, we were very involved in the regulated conversations around how data is used and you know how that works. I think regulations become more complex now because the CMA, sort of with the ICO in the UK at least, the Department of Justice here, and there's a lot of combinations of the way in which data is used and the impact that has on commercial and competition markets. So we are probably more observers and participants rather than sort of leading any discussions, but it certainly was the case early on.
It's the 20th anniversary of Advertising Week.
Is it?
Yeah. Give me a sense of kind of where do you see this all going? Kind of you can project as far forward as you want. We could be sitting down here in 2044, you know, celebrating the 40th, who knows.
But, with all due respect, I'm not sure I will. But I would say the timeline, 10 years from now, will be really interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the impact of... I'm going to say AI, but sort of data technologies and innovation, and the impact that has on marketing automation is going to transform most of the businesses that are in these rooms. I think I'm really excited by it. I think it's going to be an amazing ride. But where people had talked about marketing automation, you know, and there are companies that sort of facilitate that now, I don't think we've got any idea what's coming down the line. Even in our own business, the speed with which we're able to innovate and bring things to market from a data point of view is mind-boggling. Like it still blows me away. I think that's only going to continue. I think in the planning and the media planning sort of world, where sort of measurement data can be converted into planning data that can immediately be sort of transferred into activation. I just see all of that collapsing down into a very short sort of sequence. The important thing, so if you think that's true, then it's important to know, how am I going to thrive in that world? I think it's really important to have clear signals, good data, well-structured sort of business sort of logic and supply chains, so that you are putting your best foot forward, so that when all of those algorithms work out how they're measuring success and what the next planning cycle looks like, that you're in the best place to create value.
And the premium web itself?
Well, if that's clearly defined, then I would like to think that that will attract a lot more spend because it demonstrates its value, distinct from everything that's not premium. And I think that at the moment that's difficult to see when people look at a online display channel, which is a mix of everything.
Damon, what a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.